just step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 495. I'm Lisa Sheps, and I am joined, as always, and as usual, by my co-host, Ms. Nicole Shiro.
Hello, it's Sheps and Shiro.
Shiro and Sheps, you're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. We are streaming this in the most living color and live at KOOP.org. Do not go away. We'll be right back.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
It is Wednesday, December 12th. 2 days after our Hanukkah has ended. On the show today, we're going to have Jason Williams and talking about Zach Theater's production of A Christmas Carol. And then later, we are going to have the folks from Penfield Theater Company talking about their production of A Christmas Carol radio play. And you will get a treat of the actual portions of the radio play live in the studio. And of course, we'll have a modified discussion of the world of theater in New York, Chicago, and Austin, Texas. I'm going to stop there because we don't have much.
Boy, this killer sings happy, happy Hanukkah, especially in America.
Happy Hanukkah,
especially in America.
In America. That is from Caroline or Change.
Change.
Yeah. So it just dawned on me that last week I played nary a Hanukkah song.
You know, it was so funny. I was like, Lisa didn't play any Hanukkah songs. And you know why? Hanukkah was so early this year.
Well, you know, I have a dreidel, and I made it out of clay.
You did.
I did.
You did.
Actually, I have a friend, and I probably talked about it on the air before. I have a friend from Chicago that used to have a latke and martini party every year. And he did this very elaborate dreidel Secret Santa kind of game that was really fun.
Well, I have a pile of dreidels at my house because you always bring them over when we celebrate the holidays.
That's true. Yep. So when we celebrate Hanukkah, or Chanukah or Hanukkah. There's lots of different spellings.
You say potato, I say potato.
Yeah, I lit the candles on the first night, and that's where it ended.
Really?
I was kind of preoccupied with being,
Yeah, stuff's going on.
Stuff's going on.
Stuff
How are you?
Going on.
Checking in with you.
I am crazy, and I am good.
Good. Well, thanks. So everything is the status quo. Let's introduce our guests here in the studio here. We have Elizabeth Bernhardt.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello. Which in my dyslexic typing, I have you here as Elizabeth.
I've never gotten so that before.
Think about funny.
Think about changing that. We have Clint Harris. Hi, Clint.
Hi, how are you?
And Ryan Crowder. Welcome back, Ryan.
Thank you. Good to see you guys.
It's good to see you. I'm so very excited to have you guys on. Y'all are going to be performing with a guest artist here later today.
Yes, that's a surprise guest artist.
Surprise guest artist. So normally when we talk about our local thing, I have a huge list of items. And I really only have four small ones, and we're going to try to keep this really short so we have plenty of time for our guests. Okay, crickets. Nobody wants to. But anyway, Avenue Q, which has been playing forever.
Yeah.
So it played Broadway. Well, it started off Broadway, then it played Broadway, and then it moved to off Broadway, where it's been playing for over 6,000 performances.
Wow. Is it 19 years, right?
I don't know, but it is.
19 years.
It is closing 2009. So that's 19 years. Very good.
Wow.
No, that's 10 years. That's 9 years. Oh, no, it's been off-Broadway. Sorry, it's been off-Broadway since 2009.
Yeah. Math is not our strong suit.
No. I'm not
but isn't that funny? Because people who are in the arts normally are supposed to excel in math and science.
Well, I've not heard that little story
before.
Oh,
yeah, the studies are.
That statistic must be from before smartphones.
That statistic must be incorrect. But, you know, as most of you know, 97.3% of all statistics are made up.
Dun, dun, dun.
So it is finally closing, I believe in January, and I'm a fan of Avenue Q. I've seen it multiple times.
It's
I was able to see it on the Great White Way.
You and I you and I had puppets. You had Lucy the Slut, and I had another one. I forgot
which was my sorority name in college.
And we have a lovely picture of us with the puppets.
So speaking of Broadway, so I'll bring this out. I'll say this to the group. I'm going to go to New York in January, and I have one night. I get to see one show. What should it be? Anybody have any ideas?
Band's Visit.
I'm thinking maybe the Band's
Visit. From all the shows you and I have talked to and what you're excited about, Band's Visit.
There's just so much out there that I want to see.
So.
All right. Well, there you go. Anybody else?
What have you seen already?
Not much. I mean, of the current things that are on, I believe only Dear Evan Hansen. I think everything else and Hamilton.
There's not a lot that I mean, like.
Maybe I should try to get Hamilton.
Really?
Isn't there one on there that Steve Martin and Edie Brickell wrote?
It's
that
was Bright Star. It's already done. Already
come
went on
and
gone. Tour.
Last season, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And the tour's already come through. And yeah.
It played
didn't
in San
come
Antonio
here.
Recently.
Played in Houston and San Antonio. We didn't get it.
You know, you got to get with the program. All right. Well, speaking of Broadway, we had one opening on Broadway this week, last Thursday. Which was Network.
Oh,
Howard
yeah.
Beale comes to life again.
Bryan Cranston.
Mm-hmm. Right. So Network was a film in 1976. I can't believe it was that long ago. It's most everybody knows the iconic phrase, "I'm tired as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore." And it's the story of a broadcaster who says he's going to commit suicide on the air because he's a little fed up with the entertainmentizing of media. And bear in mind, this was 1976.
Was 76, so not now.
That's pretty amazing. So the reviews were mostly mixed in general on the show itself, but 100% in favor of Bryan Cranston's Howard Beale. And as a matter of fact, they said a lot of these critics were saying that he was better than what's his name? I just lost his name. Peter? No. I'm going to come up.
I don't remember who did it.
The original guy.
Oh, in the movie.
Yeah.
In the movie, yeah. I'll come up with it. It's in here somewhere. So the movie was written by Patty Chayefsky. It's Finch. Finch. Last name Finch. Anyway, Peter Finch. I knew it was Peter.
There you go.
And he took the Oscar for it. But they're saying that Cranston's is better. Although the other person that got an Oscar, or at least an Oscar nom, was Faye Dunaway. And her, the person that played that role on Broadway did not fare as well. As a matter of fact, nobody fared as well as Bryan Cranston.
Well, and Ivan Van Hove directed that one, right?
Ivan Van Hove did indeed direct that.
The set looks outstanding.
So the set is on stage right is a plexiglass control booth. On stage left is an area where audience members pay a premium to sit and are served drinks and are part of the thing and part of the action. And it's one of those things where there's cameras everywhere and there's a big screen in the back.
And he's like at a news desk in the center. It almost looks like NASA Mission Control, like the way they have the
here's a little picture
news
for those
desk
of you.
Set up to the left. And then, that's not it. There's one great shot that shows the audience with the news desk, with the cameras, with the big plexi screen, with the actual control on the side. It's really intriguing.
And they have already extended their run, but the reviews are not spectacular for the show as a whole. But here's how Ben Brantley's review begins. Bryan Cranston is all but flaying the skin of his body night after night at the Belasco Theater. If you're a glutton for great high-risk acting, you owe Mr. Cranston the courtesy and yourself the thrill of watching his self-immolation in Network, which opened last Thursday.
Wow.
So, people I know who have seen it loved it. But I also think there are also the people I know who have seen it are really politically charged, and a lot of it has a lot of it in there from the current administration all the way back.
There are so many.
I think that's what really gets people going.
Yeah. There are so many people like wondering. I've heard so many people go, "I think I liked it a lot, but I'm not sure."
That's how I felt at the river.
But everybody has been pretty well in line with lockstep around Bryan Cranston.
His performance, yeah.
So Adam Feldman of Time Out New York said, "Network isn't galvanizing, it's numbing. Emptily flashy in its combination of empty flash. Inhumane in its wan defense of humanity."
Yikes.
On the other side, David Rooney for The Hollywood Reporter said, "What remains clear, however, is that this writer was definitely onto something, and while his taste for windy oration can grate, his caustic immorality tale proves a trenchant fit for the stage in his boldly inventive adaptation." So it was written by Lee Hall, and again, Patty Chayefsky wrote the original screenplay. So I don't know. I don't know if this is on my list, but
it's not on my list. But yet I'm fascinated. But did anybody love
the film? Has anybody seen the film other than me?
No. I have, but you know what? It's so long ago that like it's one of those that I should probably revisit.
My senior year in high school.
It would ring differently now in today's political context.
Yeah, and that's why I really think it would be great to revisit.
Yeah, I watched it a little long ago.
A little long ago, I watched it.
Who knows that? A little long ago. Anyway, and it. It translates well. So let's move on.
A little long ago, was that your other sorority name?
No, it was not. No, but thank you. So, you know, we had the Cher show that opened.
Yes.
Now we have another Cher show that opened, Cher Horowitz.
Yes.
H-O-R-O-W-I-T-Z spells Horowitz.
Horowitz.
Okay. anyway, so this is Clueless.
You didn't like that I backed you up there, man. Made a ditty out of it all. I mean,
yesterday, I took my girlfriend Peggy to see him play a concert at Carnegie.
Okay.
anyway, so Cher Horowitz, who is the character in Clueless, which I am not sure whether I saw the movie or not. Did you?
I definitely did. I think you would remember. You don't remember all like the little plaid skirts and Alicia Silverstone and
it's so great.
And anyway, so the musical.
Anyway, it really is. The musical. I'm on the same page.
The musical, evidently, not so much.
No, I didn't think it was going to be, and I don't think they workshopped it or played with it long enough. It was off Broadway. We're doing it, and now here it is.
It's off Broadway.
You saw this?
No, but it was just like all of a sudden they're like, we're going to do it. And then all of a sudden it opened. And I'm like, well, how much did you work on that?
Well, but one could argue off-Broadway is kind of a workshop. So in theory, they would want to move it.
I guess. But when you're messing with something in pop culture like Clueless, one would spend a little more time. Just saying.
Ben Brantley called it an affable but limp show.
Ooh.
It is at the Signature Center. And the star, the one that plays Cher, is Doyle Cameron. And she has the poise and presence to anchor a show. They liked her. They weren't so crazy about the other characters. And they took old songs and re-lyriced them. So,
I don't know how I feel about that.
I know. Instead of "What if God was one of us?"
What if God was one of us? Yeah.
It goes to "What if Cher didn't have a trust?"
Yeah, see, I got a problem with that.
There was another one in
Did
here.
Did Weird Al write this or something?
That's exactly what I was about to say. I was like, how do you take something seriously in a show like that unless you're going in knowing it's something like Forbidden Broadway? Then that works.
It's sending something up.
Yeah, it's such a weird...
So Tina Fey was behind this one? Right?
No, that was Mean Girls.
That's Mean Girls.
Oh, Mean Girls, she did
a great job on that. Awesome. I was really impressed by how that translated onto stage.
All right. I want to talk about one other thing. So we've been having a spate of talking about actors who break character to deal with things that are happening in the audience.
You mean actors that do their job?
That's the actors that don't do their job.
That you were talking about.
Well,
never mind.
Here's an interesting one that I don't really that. So this was on Once on This Island, and it was Tamara Gray, who's one of the leads in it, stopped the show because she noticed somebody in the audience that was choking and nobody was doing anything about it.
I'm totally okay with this.
So she stopped the show and said, quote, "Is there a doctor in the house?" And indeed there was, and ostensibly saved his life.
Wow.
So I'm not... That's
different than Glenn Close yelling at the jackhammer.
I agree. So anyway, I thought that was an interesting thing. And we know that we're losing Once on This Island on January 8th as well. So that's it for our discussion section.
Can I say one thing?
Only one thing.
All right. Hugh Jackman is going on tour and Mama got her tickets June 18th, Houston, Texas. Nice. Hugh Jackman, theshow.com if you want more information on that bad boy.
All right. Well, that's good.
Yes. Yeah. So, no, that's exciting, Lisa. That's not good. That's exciting.
It's exciting for you and I will appreciate
it
that.
It is exciting.
So I don't know why. Oh, I'm playing something from Waitress because Sarah Bareilles is going back in.
She is going back in, and La Waitress is here in January. And so, Waitress is here in January. It's right around the corner.
So let's just listen to this, and we'll come right back.
Okay.
Look around you.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
It is Sheps and Shiro and Shiro and Sheps.
Shiro and Sheps and Sheps and Shiro. We've been having a lovely discussion with Ryan Crowder, Elizabeth Bernhardt, and Clint Harris, and Nicole Shiro.
And Lisa Sheps.
And Lisa Sheps. Now we're going to switch, and we're going to talk to one Jason Williams, who is magically appearing via the miracle of telephone.
Oh, isn't it something?
It is. Jason, we are... I'm really happy to hear your voice. I wish you were here in the studio, but I understand you have a child that's not feeling too well.
I'm on parent duty this afternoon.
We call that PD.
All will be well. All will be well. But thank you for having me on.
Well, any time, you know you have an open invitation here.
Well, I appreciate it. I really do. I love your show.
Okay, well thanks
we
for being on.
You,
we'll talk
Jason.
To you later.
There you go. No, so we got all that done.
So you are rejoining the cast of A Christmas Carol over at Zach.
Yes.
Playing the titular. Well, it's not the titular, actually. It'd be titular if it was Scrooge, but you play Scrooge.
I play Scrooge.
Okay, I just like saying titular. Titular.
Well, you know.
Don't go there, Jason. Don't go there.
Oh, yes, I know. I know it's a new era. We have to be so careful.
So I am not sure whether or not I have seen you play the role before, but I've seen the pictures of you, and I can think of no better person to play it.
Well, it's such an incredible role. I don't know of any role I've ever played that has as complete a catharsis as Scrooge. You know, it is absolutely complete, and it just gives you such a great place to go. You know, I'm used to hearing laughter at the beginning of my shows, and it's wonderful. You know, I try to play it so mean at the beginning that no one would dare laugh. It's fun for me. and then you work your way toward that. And there is some laughter sometimes, but I love it when it has a nervous sound to it. Like, oh no. And then I'm surrounded, you know, that I get paid to do this. I mean, I'm on stage, you know, with Rod Sanford and Kenny Williams and Chanel, singing just beyond anything I've ever heard. And I just get to stand there and listen to them and get paid for it. It's a hell of a great job.
That's right. You know, well, it's actually a really fun version of A Christmas Carol that Dave Stakely invented, I guess. Yeah. Can you tell folks that haven't seen it or aren't familiar with it what makes this special? What's different?
Well, there are a couple of things. You know, first of all, in terms of the music, we have everything from Oh Holy Night to Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror. And everything between, in terms of music, and the cast, the casting of the Cratchit family is incredible because we have every brand of American you could imagine up there.
Yep.
One of our Tiny Tims is native Indian, India Indian. We have Asians, we have Hispanics, we have Blacks, all in one family. So, you know, when you look at the Cratchit family, it looks like America, and it's really beautiful. And they sing like birds. You know, Zach has that incredible training program.
Yes.
And so the kids are marvelous. You know, they always tell you don't work with kids or animals.
You're doing both in this one, aren't you?
I was in a show with both, and the beagle bit the little girl.
Oh, no. You can't trust beagles.
I like the dog better, I have to say. But anyway, that was a long time ago. But these kids are marvelous.
Yep.
And it's just such a journey. Dave created such an amazing universal script. There's really nothing British about it. It's about America. It's about the world. And then Abe Bold redirected and just did an amazing thing. And I'm doing stuff for him I wouldn't do for anybody. I climb a 16-foot ladder and hang from the top of it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not old. I mean, I'm not young.
No,
you know?
But you would do it if I asked you, wouldn't you?
Oh, I would. I would. Well, you know, 8 to 10. 8 to 10.
So Scrooge in this version, you have a solo as well. Don't you have a song?
Nope.
I thought you did. I thought you had a song at the end. No?
No, that's why it's called a good musical, because I don't sing a note.
When you had a song in the end,
they I'm gonna. Love me, but they're not nuts.
I'm gonna talk. I'm gonna talk to them about adding one before y'all close.
Maybe a little Tom Waits.
There. You know? Yes. Yeah.
I think Tom Waits would be a nice little addition to that eclectic mix
it
of music
be.
Going on.
I know.
I just want to go back to the who's who of Austin theater in this show is pretty amazing.
It is amazing. Matthew Redden's in it. Mm-hmm. Everybody. You know, it's just a magnificent group. The dancers are extraordinary, and this is more of a dance show than it was before. Brought in the choreographer Jim, whose last name escapes me, from New York, and
Cooney.
He was meticulous. He was meticulous.
Well, you want your choreographer to be meticulous.
Yes, and he was, and always before this, it's always kind of had a free form feel to it. But he was meticulous, and it shows, and it's beautiful. Everybody keeps it up, and the audience just erupts with joy after certain numbers. They just scream with joy. I mean, it's just a very joyous show.
It's hard not to erupt with joy when you see it. I did, you know, this version. Some people love it, some people don't. I happen to be on the side of people that really enjoy the version. And, you know, it might get purists a little bent out of shape, but not me.
Well, I have done the very British version of it. But I think...
Because you have a British accent just naturally.
Well, there you go. It just came, you know, growing up near Lubbock. What else are you going to do? That's right. There, you know, there's a dog trainer in Lubbock that can teach you everything about British accents.
Well, and, of course.
it's a marvelous experience. And there will be those. There'll be purists who don't care for the direction it goes in. And there are touches of politically incorrect. There are moments you're politically incorrect, which is one of the reasons I did it. You know me. You know me. If we're not stirring things up, then I'm not that interesting.
I would beg to differ. Listen, we're almost out of time. The show is running now. Mm-hmm. When does it close?
It closes on the 30th.
On the 30th of December.
Of December.
Do you have a show on Christmas Eve?
We have a show on Christmas Day.
Do you really?
We're off Christmas Eve, but we have a show Christmas night. And you know, after all those years of doing Tuna Christmas, I kind of love doing a Christmas show. It's, you know, the audiences are amazing because you've been with all these people that you would never be with for 3 or 4 days, except that you're related to them.
Yeah.
So you can go to the theater, sit next to them, and not have to say a word. and it leads, it really does.
Great idea.
They're very quiet at the beginning, and then they forget who they're with, and I have a wonderful time. So.
Well, awesome. Well, Jason, thank you so much for joining us here today.
It's always a pleasure. I love your show. Well, you make things so much better.
Go on.
I love it.
No, I mean it. Go on.
Okay.
Well, listen, I hope your son starts to feel better and break a leg and enjoy the rest of the run till December 30th.
We will. And thank you for having me on again.
Okay, Jason.
Thank you so much, Jason.
Love you, Nicole. Take
love
care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That was Jason Williams. He is part of Zach Theater's production of A Christmas Carol, playing now through December 30th at the Zach Theater on the top first stage. For more information, you may visit zachtheater.org. And this is directly from this show. Not this year, but this show.
I see trees of green.
All right, we are already back. This is Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Lisa and Nicole.
We just had a lovely conversation with Jason Williams, the incomparable and always fun Jason Williams.
Boy,
he's such
a wonderful
man.
Just laugh.
Yep.
He should write something.
He's funny, but remember, looks aren't everything.
Yeah.
So let's just talk a little bit of local stuff. There was an interesting show that I saw on Now Playing Austin, done by Tapestry, called Of Mice and Music, a jazz tap nutcracker.
Yes, this looks pretty awesome. And I saw some of the images for it. I think it was Austin Ott made it one of the top 13 holiday shows to see. And it made me kind of excited when I saw it. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. And it is, again, Tapestry Dance Company. So how you can't watch tap dancing without smiling. It's almost impossible.
No, here's the thing. Tapestry really is top notch. They're one of the best in the U.S. And we are so lucky to have a group of folks that can tap like they do.
Yep.
Here in Austin.
Yep. And sort of a jazz nutcracker could be kind of fun.
Yeah. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like the different spins on stuff.
I was a late comer to Nutcracker. I did not see it until well into my adult life.
And that's interesting. I got to stop for a minute. So when you grow up as a child, you have this whole like traditional aspect and it's ceremonial and when you see it as an adult?
Awful, because it is a terrible story.
Yeah, well.
It's a terrible story. It's about this crazy, creepy old man who sneaks into a girl's bedroom and whisks her away. Sat there with my jaw agog.
Well, you know, Overboard's not really a good story. Well, I've got children how to kidnap a woman, but great, it's a great movie. I mean,
I must say that this is the first time I've heard the Nutcracker equated with Overboard.
Well, you heard it here, folks, on offstage and on the air.
So the other thing I just want to talk about, because I can, is Fun Home.
Yes.
Fun Home had its opening weekend. It's an amazing piece.
Can we talk about an amazing sold-out weekend?
It did very well. We had nice audiences, but it's just such a wonderful piece, and seeing it on its feet and seeing it come together. The cast is just really it's worthwhile to see.
It's when we always talk about the show and we're like, it's special. This is one of those shows that fits into that category.
I believe that to be true. Mm-hmm. Anyway, more information at groundfloortheater.org. Plays through the 22nd. That's two more weekends to see it. So you can get more information there. And finally, we are going to do a very abbreviated version of Today in Theater History. We're going to talk about...
Dun, 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 dun.
Instead of Today in Theater History, it's going to be Two Things in Theater History.
Two Things in Theater History?
Two Things.
Two.
Do you know the play that has Sister Mary Amnesia?
Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah, well, it opened in 1985 off-Broadway
at
Cherry Lane Theater.
Mm-hmm. No way.
It played finally 3,672 performances.
Whoa. What year was this again?
To put this in context, this is just basically almost half of what Avenue Q played.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yep.
Well, who doesn't like Sister Mary Amnesia?
This was also in 2013, the premiere of American Psycho, the Duncan Sheik.
You know Mama loves me some American Psycho. Sadly, American audiences did not so much. London
wrong,
did.
Wrong. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a little break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk to Penfold. But before we go into our underwriting announcements, we're going to start with our random legal ID.
Oh, who will it be today?
I don't know. We'll find out after the break. We will be right back.
Hi, I'm Don Toner from Austin Playhouse. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air, KOOP, Hornsby, Austin.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and
Nicole Shiro.
Gonna make you say your own name this time. Shiro
Nicole
and Sheps.
Nicole Shiro.
So we just heard a little bit from Fun Home, which I was supposed to play at the end of that. That was a Welcome to Our House on Maple Avenue. Which is why I do not perform. You're just noticing. So let's just jump right in and talk to the folks here from Penfold Theater. We are welcoming Ryan Crowder.
Hello.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi.
So, Ryan, did you direct this piece?
I did. My first time in 7 years that we've been doing these live radio shows to direct one.
Okay, well, hold that thought. Let me introduce everybody else. We're going to jump right into that question. We have Clint Harris. Hi, Clint.
Hi.
And Elizabeth Bernhardt.
Hey, how's it going?
Which I've decided your name is now Elizabeth.
I love it.
So, I like that.
So
you put that.
Elizabeth. which that's the Hebrew version.
It's like you're singing.
So you guys are doing the radio play of
I was just about to say It's a Wonderful Life, but it's not. It's A Christmas Carol.
That's right.
And you're directing it. So you've not directed any of your radio plays?
No.
And have y'all? Did I just hear you say you?
I can't believe this is the first time you're directing this. I swore you directed the first one. This is kind of crazy, Ryan.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I looked up. I was like, wait a minute. I want to turn. Move over.
Have y'all been doing them for 8 years?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? God.
So has Nathan directed all the others, or did you have guest directors come in?
Nathan has directed. I think he's directed each of them once except for Christmas Carol. Uh-huh. But he's done all of our adaptations. He's gone back in the archives of the old radio scripts and put together all of these original adaptations. But yeah, he's directed. Philip Olson directed the last time we did Christmas Carol. Emily Rankin directed for us when she was in town. So yeah, we've had a number of people go through. And now it's my turn.
Great. How'd you do?
Pretty well. I mean, I was spoiled. So I had a great cast.
I love that he
cast.
Says pretty well. And he looks at his cast like, right. Hey guys, tell it to me.
Sure. Yeah. Excellent. So here's what I want to do. I want to make sure we have plenty of time for the radio play itself that we're going to do, because we're going to do a little 20-minute version of the radio play.
Yep.
So what I'd like to do right now is if Ryan and Elizabeth, I'm sorry, Clint and Elizabeth, can I have to read the names, and it's really bad for me.
Really, Clint, it's Bob, Judy, and John in here. There's none of these people. There are two people.
If you could tell us, just introduce your name and tell the folks here listening what role or roles you play.
Sure, yeah. I'm Clint Harris. I am the, quote, player two in the production, so I'm the narrator you'll hear in a little bit. I also voice Bob Cratchit, young Scrooge when he goes and visits Christmas Past. I play old Joe in the future, and there's a couple others here and there that...
They just pop in.
Oh, yeah.
All kinds of things.
And Elizabeth?
Hey, I played the Ghost of Christmas Past, as well as Belle, young Scrooge's girlfriend, and Tiny Tim. And four or five other people.
So, great. And yeah. Ryan, do you also perform in this?
I don't.
You do not. Okay. Are you performing for us today, though?
I am. I'm pinch hitting. Yes, okay. For our Scrooge, Robert Barry, who is, you know, working.
So, who does
what's
that?
I know.
So he doesn't play and frolic in the fields all day?
Why don't you lead us into what we're going to listen to right now?
Sure.
Oh, and before we do that, we do have a guest star.
Yes, a guest star. Miss, do you want to say your own name?
Yeah, who's our... Yeah, guest star, please sign in and introduce yourself.
My name is Nicole Shiro.
Oh! Yay.
I'm so excited to be here today. This is my first time in the studio.
What role will you be playing?
Nicole's going to read Fan for us.
Fan. Yes. Excellent. My grandmother's name.
Oh, really?
Was it okay. Really?
Yes, it was. So why don't you set it up, and then we'll just jump right in.
Okay, so we're going to jump in the middle of the story. I know most everyone is familiar with it, but this is where Scrooge is being transported back into the past to look at the past years of his life, and the Ghost of Christmas Past is his guide through that, so we're going to do that section.
Okay, so this is part of the cast of Penfold Theater's production of A Christmas Carol Classic Radio Cast.
We now return to KPNF and Penfold Theatre Company's production of A Christmas Carol, Classic Radio Cast. Scrooge awoke. He was lying on his bed, fully dressed. What time was it? Suddenly, the curtains of his bed were drawn aside, and Scrooge found himself face to face with the unearthly visitor.
Ebenezer Scrooge!
Who's there?
It was a strange figure, like a child, yet not so like a child as like an old woman. Its hair, which hung about its neck and down its back, was white as if with age. And yet the face had not a wrinkle in it, and the tenderest bloom of youth was on its cheek.
Ebenezer Scrooge, I have come for you.
Are you the spirit whose coming was foretold to me?
I am that spirit.
Who? What are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
No. Your past.
What brings you here to haunt me?
Your welfare.
A night's unbroken rest would be more conducive to my welfare.
Your redemption, then. Rise and fly with me.
Oh, no. Not out the window. I can't do that. I'm not a spirit. I'm mortal and liable to fall.
Bear but a touch of my hand upon your heart, and you shall be upheld in more than this. Come, follow me.
Where are we? What's become of the city? And there's snow upon the ground, and
Where have you brought me?
These are the shadows of the things that have been. Do you recognize this countryside?
Oh, I know every inch of it. Every rock, every tree.
And do you recollect that path?
I could walk it blindfold.
Strange, you should have forgotten it so many years. Come, let us go closer. Here we are. Look through the window into that cold, barren room. What do you see, Ebenezer Scrooge?
I see a boy.
A solitary child, neglected by his family.
Yes, yes, I know that boy.
Why will he not join in with the other children's festivities, their games and songs?
Oh, poor lonely boy.
Your lip is trembling.
It's nothing. Nothing at all, I just... Oh, it's too late now.
What's the matter?
Nothing. These waifs came to my door singing Christmas carols tonight, and there was a little boy like that among them, a poor, pale... I should like to have given him something, that's all.
Is that all? Step inside.
I'm not dressed to see anyone.
These are the shadows of the things that have been. They have no consciousness of us.
Dear brother!
My little sister Fan. She came to visit me one Christmas.
I've come to bring you home, dear brother.
Home? For Christmas, Father would never.
Home for good and all. Home forever and ever. Father is so much kinder than he used to be. He is Ebby. He spoke so gently to me one night when I was going to bed that I was not afraid at all to ask him once more if you might come home. And this time he said, yes, you should. And he let me take the coach to bring you. You are to be apprenticed in town, but you're never to have to come back here. At first, we're to be together all Christmas long and have the merriest time in the world.
Father would really... You've got me back home.
Yes!
Let me pack my things. Thank you. Thank you for saving me, little Fan.
Always a delicate creature whom a breath might have withered. But she had a large heart.
She had? I'll not deny it.
She died a woman and had children, I think.
One child.
Your nephew.
Yes, Fred.
Come, Ebenezer Scrooge. Let us see another Christmas. And do you know this place, Ebenezer Scrooge?
Know it? Know it? This is the counting house where I was apprenticed. It's my old master. Bless his heart, old Fezziwig himself. My master alive again and hosting one of his Christmas parties. Pick your partners, everyone. Listen to him. We'll corkscrew, thread the needle, and then back to your places, all right? Now, one, two, three... And there's Dick Wilkins. Yes, and look, there's Mrs. Fezziwig herself dancing more than any of them. And the table's all loaded with roasts and cider, mince pies and beer. Oh, what a jolly time we used to have.
That carefree young man with the light heart and the gay smile. Do you recognize him?
Merciful heaven.
Ebenezer!
Yes, sir. I'm just clearing away a few last things, sir.
Leave them there, my boy. Come dance with us, or at least come dance with Belle. She's been talking about you all week.
Your daughter, sir?
Yes, yes, my daughter. She thinks I don't notice, but I do. And don't pretend to be dull. I saw you making eyes at her last...
Sir, I would never...
Sir, I would never... Don't be so blasted fidgety. I think you got a fine future ahead of you, lad, and if my daughter's developed an eye for you, she could do a lot worse. Now go dance with her.
Yes, sir.
Though, you can't tell her I told you to. She'd never forgive me.
No, sir.
But if I left it to you two, you'd spend all night on opposite ends of the whole soyan, ruin the whole air of festivity. Belle!
Yes, Papa?
Belle, dear, Ebenezer here has asked to dance with you.
I what?
If you have no objections, perhaps you could finally teach the awkward thing to reel or jig or something.
You're awkward?
Now, I've got things to attend to. You kids have fun.
Miss Fezziwig?
Mr. Scrooge? Would you care to dance?
Yes, of course. And I'm not that awkward. There were more dances, and there were forfeits, and more dances, and there was cake. But the great effect of the evening came after the roast and boiled, when the fiddler struck up Sir Roger de Coverley, and old Fezziwig stood out to dance with Mrs. Fezziwig. Top couple, too, with 3 or 4 and 20 pair of partners, people who would dance and had no notion of walking. During the whole of this time, old Scrooge followed around the shadows and acted like a man out of his wits. His heart and soul were in the scene, and with his former self, He corroborated everything, remembered everything, enjoyed everything, and underwent the strangest agitation.
How happy I was then.
A small matter for old Fezziwig to make those silly folks so full of joy.
Small matter indeed.
Isn't it? He has spent only a few pounds of your mortal money. Is that so much that he deserves praise?
It's not that, Spirit. Old Fezziwig has the power to make us happy or unhappy, to make our service pleasant or a burden. His power lies in words and looks and in things so tiny it's impossible to count them up. The happiness he gives is quite as great as if it cost a...
What is the matter?
Nothing.
Something, I think.
No.
Speak.
Well, only... I should like to be able to say a word or two to my clerk, Cratchit. That's all.
My time grows short, and we have yet one more journey to make.
Where now?
Come, this is our last visit to the past, Ebenezer. Here in this little room with a fair young girl by your side. Do you recognize yourself, Ebenezer?
No. Spirit, spare me this.
You're older now. A man in the prime of life, your face has begun to wear the signs of care and avarice, developing the eager, restless eyes of a miser.
No, please.
She sees it too, that girl by your side. That's why there are tears just at the edge of her eyes.
Belle.
This engagement ring matters little to ye. Very little, I know that now.
Belle, I've not changed toward you, have I?
When we were first engaged, we were both poor and content to be so.
Was it better then? Better to be poor?
Better at least to be happy with each other. You're changed. You were another man then.
I was a boy. You blame me because I've grown wiser.
Your own heart tells you you're not what you were.
But I have never tried to break our engagement.
In words, no.
In what then?
In a changed nature, in an altered spirit, in everything that made my love of any value to you. So, I release you from your promise for the love of him you once were.
Belle.
At first, it may cause you pain to lose me, a very brief pain, but soon it will dim like a half-remembered dream. An unprofitable dream from which you will be glad you awoke.
Say something.
May you be happy in the life you have chosen, Ebenezer.
Don't just stand there. Say something.
For the love of the love we once had.
Go after her, you fool. Run! You fool.
If you were still free on that day, could she any longer believe that you would choose a dowerless girl? Or choosing her that your repentance and regret would not surely follow.
Spirit, I can bear no more.
These are the shadows of the things that have been. That they are what they are, do not blame me.
Let me go and haunt me no more!
So we'll be right back after this brief intermission. Stick around, folks, for Act 2 of Penfold Theatre Company's production of A Christmas Carol, Classic Radio Cast.
Ah, voila!
Okay,
that was so much fun.
I love that today is all about Christmas Carol, and there's so many different ways to love and embrace the story.
Yes.
Like, that's so cool.
So I must say, Ryan, for someone who doesn't play the role, you did a fine job of doing it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. It's such a... Nothing on fan, really?
Well, Fan was transported.
She was so real.
The young lady that played Fan had just trouble picking up her first cue. As a director, I have a little issue with that.
Because I was all like, was oh, wait, there's not, that's story. Not text, it was stage direction. It's been a while since I've done that.
You did a great job. For a cold read, I would give you a call back
on
that.
Yeah, I felt bad. I was like, oh, I probably
should. So clearly, what we were missing here, which is one of the funnest things about seeing a radio broadcast, is Foley.
Oh, yes. That's
yeah,
right.
So tell us about your Foley.
So the stage directions that you mentioned in the script, a lot of those are the sound effects that create the whole environment that we find ourselves in throughout Christmas Carol. So we have five actors in the show. They voice all 30-something characters, and when they're not at the mics...
And a horse.
And when they're not at the mics, they're at the Foley table creating all of those sound effects live.
Just about to say, is it one person or are you all doing it as a cast?
Everybody
so that is so cool. Ensemble. You all get a chance to have a little Foley time.
Yeah. And what is, so one of the things that's so fun about seeing a Foley artist at work is some of the stuff that they use. What are some of the more fun Foley effects that you guys do?
Say that again, four times. Fast.
The two that I think are the most interesting are the, we use like a bag of cornmeal wrapped in duct tape to make snow crunching. And then also you can just take a dowel rod and string keys on it and it makes this really magical transportation sound is what it says in the script. That's very cool.
I always had fun making the shoes walk. I don't know why, but why is there something so childlike? And so I saw the footsteps. I saw that stage director and I was all like, oh, that's my favorite part. Your hands in the shoes and you're making them walk. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I just used two coconuts together for horses.
Do you have a lovely bunch of coconuts?
I do.
There they are.
Standing in a row.
But it's pretty weird because you get into character. Like, I feel like I open the door so many times, but I have to open it as Bob Cratchit being sad, or I have to open it as, you know, like somebody coming in differently. So it's almost a character thing.
There's an absolute art to it.
Yeah,
there really is.
And so tell me about your stage setup there at the Old Settlers Hall.
Yeah, so these old radio shows from the 1930s, 40s, and 50s would go on tour. Mm-hmm. And so that's really the conceit of what we're doing. You are the live studio audience. Come to see this touring radio production. So Desi Roybal has put the set together, and it's got the old glittery Austrian curtains like they used to have back in the day with the old-timey microphones and the Foley table. Jenny Hannah Chambers did our 1940s costumes. And so you really feel like you're stepping back to that period of time. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, when the show starts, in your imaginations, we all go back even farther to Dickensian London.
So what... are your old-timey microphones actual microphones, or are they props, or can you tell?
They are actual microphones.
They are.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, we do record the show, and so we've got the full audio, and it can be enjoyed that way. But honestly, being there to watch how everything is done is part of the fun.
And you've been doing these for, did you say 8 years?
7 or 8 years.
Right. And is it split between Christmas Carol and It's a Wonderful Life, or do you have others?
Christmas Carol, It's a Wonderful Life, and A Miracle on 34th Street.
Miracle on 34th Street. That's what I remember.
That's right.
Want a fun fact about A Christmas Carol?
Please.
The longest running yearly production of A Christmas Carol is my 1.5 square mile hometown, Spring Lake, New Jersey, where I was born. And they do it every year. It's the longest running anywhere in the world. Spring Lake, New Jersey. 59 miles outside of New York City. Two towns over from Bruce.
Well, hopefully by now they've got it down.
Yeah, but they just do it pretty plain and traditional. So, but it's one of those stories. It's so cool to see it so many different ways. It's Lisa loves the Dickens. So.
I do love the Dickens. Yeah. And Dickens is well established right now in the Austin area.
That's
with
right.
The Mystery of Edwin Drood. And
multiple
Great
Dickens.
Expectations.
Great Expectations.
Great Expectations.
Both carols. There's a lot of Dickens. Robert Ferris wrote that nice little piece on Dickens in Austin.
Yes, that's right. That's absolutely right.
That's one of the fun things about doing this like a radio show. Ryan and I were talking about this morning is for me, having it set up like this, it almost feels like the characters and the story exist already out there. And we just step in to tell this little bit of the story. Like I just step into Bob Cratchit to tell his part of the story right here. And then I step out and let Bob Cratchit go on with his life. And then I step back in later to play young Scrooge and then step back and let him go on with his life. And it's sort of the way that like Dickens is over 150 years, but we're still telling such urgent stories with it.
The J.P. Morgan Library in New York actually has the original Dickens manuscript.
Whoa.
So if you have some time and you want to go in there and hang out, they have a lovely little place. You can have like cucumber sandwiches and tea and check out part. And it's the original J.P. Morgan mansion, one of the last Fifth Avenue mansions. But they have the original Dickens Christmas Carol.
That's amazing.
Manuscript
he would go on tour himself and mm-hmm. read the story publicly. That was
well,
one of the
ways.
Well,
he was the Stephen King of his day.
Yeah.
Was, well, because he wrote serially. He mm-hmm. wrote for the common person.
Uh-huh. That is kind of an interesting...
Yeah. He was not highbrow at the time. And mm-hmm. Most of his stuff he threw out there serially. So he was out there doing his thing with the people. Yeah. He was the people's person.
People's person.
The people person.
And it comes through in his writing so strongly too. Like I just have a copy of the original Christmas Carol just in my backpack sitting next to my
Well, who
script.
Doesn't really? It's right next to my constitution. But
when you read it over and over and I always
you can.
See something
you totally
new
can.
Or I have a new, oh!
And his voice is so present the whole time.
Yes.
Like he writes I and I think and this is me. And like he writes himself into his own story telling the story. And it's so cool to read.
Well, I've always said that I enjoy reading Dickens because he's so much fun to read. His language is very colorful, and it sounds like you'd like
it's
to
so
hang out
timely.
With him.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
I think we should vote for him for president.
I
would like to have a beer with him.
I'll run his campaign, and we'll get right on it.
Vote like the Dickens.
I wonder where that expression came from and why. Was he quick?
Maybe.
No
Let me call him an
ass.
I'm going to call him an ass. So the show's been running for a while, correct? When did you open?
We opened November 29th, and we run through December 29th.
How have your audiences been responding?
Oh, wonderful. Mm-hmm. We've had really strong houses.
Yeah.
Even... sometimes it takes a while for people to kind of wake up and be like, oh yeah, it's Christmas, we should go see a Christmas show.
Creep up on us very quickly this year.
But not this year. We've had strong houses from the very beginning.
Well, how do the kids appreciate it? Because this has to be something new for the younger generation that is so technical and into smartphones and stuff.
Yeah.
So like, do you see children's eyes light up when they actually see the foliage going on?
I did, yeah. My nieces and nephew came to see the show this past Saturday and thought it was great. I mean, they're a little biased and they might be lying to me, but they seem to genuinely
do that.
They don't edit. They would have told you if they didn't.
Oh, exactly.
Like
yeah.
It.
And they, I mean, they've come to a bunch
How
of stuff
old are
I've
they?
Been in. There's one who is actually turns 8 tomorrow. And then the oldest is 13. So
yeah. No, they tell you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're out at Old Settlers Hall in Round Rock.
Mm-hmm.
How can folks, if folks need help finding that place, are there directions on your website?
There are, and we're also super easy to find. You go, if you're coming from Austin, you go up 35, you get off on the Highway 79 exit, you go east toward Del Diamond.
And right there.
Right before you get to Del Diamond across from Salt Lake Barbecue, we're right there. And it's also where the city of Round Rock is doing their Christmas Town. So there's all these light decorations and Christmas rides. So like, go up and make a full
evening of it. It's the Christmas corner.
It's the Christmas corner. That's right.
Wonderful. Well, thank you guys for joining us on there. Hopefully one or all of you can stick around and join us backstage because it's always fun back there.
It is.
And merry, merry, ho, ho, ho.
That's right. Yeah. Happy holidays.
Okay. Happy holidays to you. Yeah. All right, that was Ryan Crowder, Elizabeth Bernhardt, and Clint Harris of Penfold Theater's production of A Christmas Carol, a classic radio cast, playing now through December 29th at the Old Settlers Hall in Round Rock. For more information, penfoldtheater.org. And here's Christmas Eve at Fezziwig's.
Oh.
Christmas Eve at Fezziwig's, drinking there.
Yeehaw, Christmas at Fezziwig's.
That kind of just made my... It's not as good as 12 Days of Christmas, but
no.
It's pretty darn close.
We'll get there. So here's the deal. That is from... it's from a Christmas Carol musical done by the First Baptist Church in Carrollton, Texas.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so... In all fairness, I had to look up their politics to see if it was okay for me to play it.
Oh, were you okay?
There was nothing there, so that told me that I didn't.
There's
have
nothing
to worry
scandalous.
About it. Nothing scandalous. Well, this was a fun between Hanukkah and Christmas show.
I've been so crazy and so busy, and I have thoroughly enjoyed this hour today with everyone and getting down with the holidays.
Well, we've been trying to do this radio show thing for 3 years now.
Oh, man,
and
that's right.
So we wanted to do it with Foley, and maybe next year we'll do it with Foley.
Sure.
One step at a time.
One step at a time, for God's sake.
One step at a time.
Well, thank you all for coming on. We're just about out of time.
I think we should have Ryan come in and we should just do a Foley show that isn't even Christmas Carol. We should do one Foley episode stage and on the
that
air.
That would be so fun.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Sounds
that.
Like Ryan.
Over
with
that.
Ryan Crowder.
Yes, totally. That's right. And the characters are Ryan.
And Ryan.
And
Ryan.
All of the sounds that he made, yeah.
Foley artist, Ryan. So this was, as I had said, a very fun show. And We're next week. It's going to start counting down to the 12 days of Christmas. 12 days of Christmas.
Plenty of time to do your Christmas shopping. Technically, the 12 days starts tomorrow, but that's okay.
What do I know? I'm Jewish. So, folks, remember, we're on the social medias.
We are.
So please like us and do it all the social media stuff.
Leave comments how awesome we are.
Yep. You know what? I'm not going to say it. Anyway. Oh, no. I am going to say it because I wasn't going to say it because I forgot what it was called. You know, we've never announced our theme music is written by The Human Condition.
Yes.
And we want to thank them for allowing us to use that piece of music for the past 5 or so years.
I was like, for a while now.
Human Condition, you can find them on the Google.
I'm giving them a jazz hand now.
They have two jazz hands.
Oh, multi-jazz hand in this studio.
And a couple of jazz feet. So by the way, I learned that the break a leg in ASL is break and you do jazz fingers.
Oh, I kind of like that.
I know, really me cool. too. I'm going to use that from now on.
Me too.
So, if you want to get us on the podcast, and you should, that way you can hear Backstage at Offstage. You want to get us through the iTunes podcast store or wherever you get your podcasts, or you could just...
Best way, just go to offstageonair.com. There's a little box on the right. Enter your email, and guess what? Each week, Lisa and Nicole are delivered to your mailbox. Voila! The magic happens.
Pop
we're
right
just
in
there.
Yep.
You don't have to look. It happens.
So if you're listening on the terrestrial radio, Austin Monitor News is next. If you're listening on the podcast, stick around for Backstage at Offstage. I think it's going to be fun this year, this week.
I do.
All right, me too.
I do.
So let's see. So now, keeping with the Christmas spirit, this is called Counting Down to Christmas, from Nativity to Danger in the Manger.
Okay, again, another show we need to do.
We'll see you next week. The curtain has just come down on Painful Kids, the musical, the story of two young children playing in a Broadway production of Matilda, but they fight over who will play what role.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Anyway, so we've left the stage area. We've gone out the stage door. We're here outside the theater next to the dumpsters. It's a little chilly, but we're gonna sit and chit-chat anyway. Joining us back here is Ryan Crowder. Hi.
Hello.
Ryan.
Hi.
I hope you're not too cold out here.
No.
And Elizabeth Bernhardt.
That's me.
That's Elizabeth Bernhardt, for those of you. And then, of course, Nicole and I are here.
I'm not here.
Well, Ryan, have you been backstage before?
No, I just happened to be walking through the alley here. I saw you guys.
You've never
I'd
been back
hi.
Here before.
You
got around.
That's good.
You haven't really ever been on
no,
before.
I have been. I've
you
been
have. You've been
I was
back.
Like, I thought you'd been right, back here.
But Elizabeth, you have not.
I have not. I'm
you've not.
Here.
So where do you come from, Elizabeth?
Austin originally.
Really?
Madisonville for 6 months of my life. And then 6 months
What is Madisonville? Is that
it's
in Texas?
It's a little town you haven't heard of.
Where?
Clearly.
Down near.
Oh, Hawaii.
Down there. Yes. I'm doing the little luau.
She just did the luau thing.
Down there. Somewhere around south or Texas.
Texas?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, Texas. Yeah.
And then
but
you moved,
moved
to Austin. What high school
yeah.
did you go to?
Bowie High School.
Bowie. All and right. now, were you? Are you a recent graduate?
You No, but thank you.
You're quite welcome.
You may go on and on.
Did you do theater in high school here?
I did. I did do some theater at Bowie in band and choir, all the fine arts.
What instrument did you play in band?
Flute and piccolo.
You had to have been busy doing all
so
of that at
burnt
the same
out at
time.
The end.
That's a yeah. lot.
Burnt out. Yes.
So I was the drummer that came to Fun Home was unloading when he was first loading in. He's unloading. He's like, it took forever. He kept going back and forth to his car with all these different things. Wow. There's lots of percussion. And it was all over. I said, I bet you wish you were a flute player right now.
So true. It's so easy. And the piccolo,
I know. The piccolo is even
like
smaller.
6 inches long. Yeah,
Did you do marching band?
I did. Okay. Yes, I did.
So in the school I went to, you were either a band nerd or a theater nerd, but mm-hmm. rarely were you both because they both take up so much of your time. Were you weighted heavier on one than the
you
other?
You know, I started heavy in band, and then our director one time was so serious, and then he looked at us all and he goes, if you guys don't love band, you should not be here. And I went, huh.
Okay, see ya.
Let me think about that. So I switched over more to choir and theater. So.
See, that's such a shame. Those teachers don't realize what kind of power they have. I had a a teacher that just stole music from me. Just by being, that's a whole other story that I won't get into. Stole Were you also music. In band? I'll tell you sometime. We'll have a drink. did you do band as well?
I did not do band. Ryan? I did choir.
You did choir.
That was my entry into theater, actually.
Okay. Yeah. You show choir then.
Well,
because
yes,
we did not
right.
have that when I grew up.
We did jazz choir and then chamber choir. And once a year, the theater kids walk down the hallway, knock on the door and say, hey, we're doing our annual musical.
Hey.
And so I auditioned.
Oh, so you did the musical as well. What was the first one?
First one I ever did, I played Chula Longhorn in The King and I, the oldest son. And it was great.
In the politically incorrect version.
Yeah, boy, that's true. And I basically mimicked the movie with Yul Brynner.
Uh-huh.
Everyone was like, wow. And I'm like, I'm just copying one song. But it was such a great time that I was hooked.
Okay, so Elizabeth, back to you. Sorry, yeah. So you were no, you did theater here. Did you, where did you get that bug? What was it that made you want to?
You know, it was actually seeing Austin Shakespeare do Twelfth Night when I was about 11 or 12, and we went to see it two or three times. Like my cousins came
in
like,
on the hillside. Shakespeare in the Park.
Yeah, Shakespeare in the Park, and it was. I think it wasn't even where it is now. I think it was over on like the Rocky part in the big field. Anyway,
that was that maybe in the days of Guy. What's his name?
Guy. Yes.
What was his
Roberts,
last name?
Right?
Yeah, Guy Roberts. Mm-hmm.
I was mesmerized. I was so excited. And I had wanted to do theater since I was a kid.
And do you do Shakespeare?
Yeah, I love Shakespeare. Yeah, okay. I was just, my last show was next door in City Theater, As You Like It.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a lot.
Did you brush up your Shakespeare?
I did. Although we didn't sing as, I sing a little in that show.
So here, quickly, if we're talking about Shakespeare, so everybody's got angry about the lyrics to Baby It's Cold Outside, but they're doing that revival of Kiss Me Kate. Is anyone going to get angry at some of the lyrics in there?
Well, not only lyrics,
I'm just saying, like,
the whole story is fraught.
Yeah,
true.
The but whole story I'm just throwing it out there. Huh. How will
just
saying.
So there's all those memes, I don't know what a meme is, but there's all these posts going around with all the other songs and things like that that we'll have to get rid of if we get too and right. I am about as politically correct as they come, but there is a point of diminishing returns, but that's not what we're here to talk about.
No, I just wanted your opinion. You all here,
well,
so
you know,
I had to ask.
You know what they say about opinions. What are y'all's opinions on the politically correctness of Kiss Me Kate and others?
I don't know Kiss Me Kate as well as I probably should. I got to see a touring
production. It's the Taming of the Shrew.
Right. But Taming of the Shrew I know very well, and it is fraught with all of the same kinds of questions. Mm-hmm. So, I think you can either dig in and really decide that you want to say something about that when you do the production, or try to find a way to thread the needle. I was in a production with Hidden Room that did it, and I thought was able to create a really credible relationship between the two that felt like equals. But I know not everyone.
And I think that's happening. The current production of My Fair Lady is supposedly, and I have not seen it, but they say that it's written in such a way that it really makes it appear like Eliza's the one that's been in control of this thing the entire time.
Interesting.
So, and that one, of course, is fraught as well. And we won't even talk about
this
Sweet Charity.
Is this at the Lincoln Center?
Pardon me?
This is the one in New York?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's funny, I had a conversation about the wrongness of Sweet Charity with Robert Ferris morning. Yet it's so right, but it's so wrong.
The music is so beautiful, but the message is terrible.
I'm
terrible.
Going to say if they do communicate well, people will probably be like, have some problems, but I'll see you, kind of thing.
So, Elizabeth, do you do musicals as well?
Yeah, I do.
Are you a triple threat?
I say I act, sing, and move well.
Okay.
I'm moving towards dance. But
so
right
you
now,
are you
well.
Taking dance classes?
It's more like, hey, there's a YouTube video. Look, I can dance like
you need
brother.
To take dance class. That's my prescription for you.
Okay.
So next time next time you're on the show, I want you to tell me which dance classes you're taking.
Okay.
What kind of like musicals? You know, everybody's got a musical
thing
they like more than others.
I actually love My Favorite Year, which I saw at Zilker Hillside, but they introduced me to it. But I really love that show, and I keep telling, like, Clint, that was just on with you guys. I was like, you would be such a great lead in that show. It's so cool, and nobody knows about it. So,
I believe I saw the movie.
You saw it on the Hillside. Mimorosis was in it that year.
Did not see it.
No, you and I went. We went.
Then
yes,
that had to be a long time ago.
Yes,
it was. They did such a good job.
I have not been at the Hillside in a long time.
It was less than 10 years ago.
I want
because
to say,
I remember seeing it after I moved here.
Like
and Andrew Cannata was in it, wasn't he? And
Scott, wasn't Scott Schroeder still running the stuff? He was still here at the point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It had to have been just 10 years. It probably around 10 years. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, okay. Good show.
And what about you, Ryan? You do musicals? Do you do musicals?
A musical.
A musical.
I haven't performed in a musical in a very long time. Actually,
what was your last one?
Probably in school. We did The Fantastics and How to Succeed in Business.
And who did you play in The Fantastics? I was just talking to Adam Roberts about this show the other day.
Oh, really? Yeah. I played the mime, the helper who gets to die in all these
kinds of wonderful
ways.
So a non-singing role.
A non-singing role. The last role the singing role that I had in a musical, like a featured role, was in Godspell. I got to play Jesus. That was in college.
You're going to go in. That's you went right. all in.
That's right.
May as well be Jesus.
Might
That's
as well be
say.
Jesus. Come on.
So, Ryan, what we like to talk about to people that have been that have joined us backstage in the past is finding what passions you have outside of the theater community. What is it? Ooh. What is it that drives you that's not theater related?
What floats your boat, sir?
Boating.
Voting? No. Is that what you said?
Boating. She said floats your boat.
Boating.
I said, what floats your boat, sir? And Lisa went, boating.
I was like, voting. Yes, please. Voting.
We were having our own radio show over here. Get
gotcha.
It? Radio show.
I'm with you.
Yeah, it's good. I don't know. I love to travel. Just this past weekend, I was in Santa Barbara. That was pretty great, visiting family. But still, lovely. If you
wait, did
been.
You were in there with the crazy snow and the weather and
missed it totally? I have no idea.
That's so funny. You really did just miss it.
Santa
really?
Barbara had snow.
San Diego, Santa Barbara. Like you should
had
see
snow.
There was California people. It looked like Vermont and like cars and
whoa.
Crazy. But there's no global warming. Just want to let you know.
Sure.
No, there isn't.
No, I know. I know. So it's I didn't natural, want you to blame it on that. I'm making sure you understood.
It's the natural comings and goings that God has set aside for our earth.
Yep.
And that she does that for a reason.
There you go.
Okay,
yeah.
So travel.
Got 10
where, so
in
where
California.
Is what is your so, what is your favorite place to have traveled? Where would you like to travel?
Oh my gosh, favorite place to have traveled. I think the first place that I went that really stands out in memory was going to the Dominican Republic because it was the first time that I got to go somewhere, number one, that was really different, and also where we weren't doing all the touristy stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We got to plop down and just hang out in a space, and you could imagine what it might have been like to live there.
Right, because you don't get that when you're a tourist.
Yeah,
in
exactly. So that was really great. And Spain in high school with my Spanish class. And the reason that was so cool was because foreign language is amazing.
It really
it
is.
It feels like a master key to a building. You know, you go into all these new places and you can open the doors because you have the key. Like you can say the words. And
such a great explanation when I try to talk about language. I'm going to steal that from you.
Yes,
I hope you don't mind. I'm going to borrow it. How about
okay,
that?
Okay, great. I don't
that's
charge
great.
Very much for royalties.
Now, when you travel, do you go see theater in other places?
I do, yes. In non-English speaking places, it's harder because, high school Spanish
dance.
Is all I have. But in fact, the last time I was in London, we got to see Woman in Black, which was a few months before we produced it here in Austin.
Right.
Oh, that's
that
fun.
Was great fun. So, yeah. And then our next trip, we're going to be going to Denver.
Beautiful people of Denver.
That's right. Yeah, watch out, Denver. And then take a train from Denver to Salt Lake City through the mountains. So I think that's
that's going to be great. Now you're going to some great places that I hope you have your national park passport and you get some national park passport stamps.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Big Bend for the first time this year.
Ooh,
have you
and did you get a national park passport stamp while you were there?
You can get a passport
yes.
stamp at a park?
Oh, sir, I'm going to hook you up. Your life will change.
Really?
You guys
yes.
will chat after the show about
yes.
that. That's just. And Elizabeth, what about you and travel?
Traveling. I love travel. My husband and I lived in China for a couple years.
Did you?
Yep. And then I loved
what were
China.
You doing in China?
Yeah, I was like, we were missionaries / teachers.
Oh,
so
lovely.
It was, yeah, it was really, we were like on
where?
A 1 year contract and then switched over.
Because China's kind of big.
I know. I feel like I'm not supposed to say exactly where I was, but central China, kind of between Beijing and Shanghai.
Did
so
you do
were,
any?
Oh, wow. You were really like in
yeah.
the middle
oh,
of
yes.
everything.
It was very real. incredible. Like, my in-laws came, and my parents came, and my they just all were kind of like, whoa, this is like, here's the real China tour, guys.
Yeah. Did you participate in any artistic ventures while you were in China?
You know, strangely, we had a bunch, we had like the most foreign teachers of any university that was there, like in China. And so we put on a culture week. And so every day of that week was a different continent, and we like would put on a show. So we had like America Day, and we like recreated High School Musical-esque musical. We wrote our own and did it in this big like Greek stadium looking thing in front of thousands of Chinese people. And my favorite comment, this kid came up to my friend afterwards and was like, it was a miracle. And I was like, wow. They liked it. So that was fun. And we like had booths about different countries, and yeah.
Well, cool.
It's a lot of fun.
That's exciting. Yeah. And just to leave our backstage area, because it's getting a little chilly,
yeah.
Any festive Christmas plans?
Oh, man.
Holiday plans?
Me?
Yeah, I'm asking the group.
I have a 4-year-old, so this year is going to be like, it's like magic. Like, suddenly it's like, oh, Christmas.
Because
like,
they get Christmas at this
first
point.
Time. First
it's
time
It's not
really
just
gets it.
Presents or not just family. Oh, that's
What's
exciting.
What's your child's name?
Yeah, Barrett.
Barrett. He's so lovely. We'll shout out to Barrett.
Yay.
Merry Christmas, Barrett.
Aw. Hello.
That's really
and
cool.
And a ho, 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 ho.
Ho, 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 ho.
What about you, Ryan? Anything fun?
I am excited to be lazy. Yeah. All of my family lives in town, so we'll definitely get together and we'll do the, you know, the gift opening thing, and we'll probably sing some Christmas carols and eat lots and lots and lots and lots of food. But I'm just glad to be home and kick my feet up. I know I just said I like to travel, but it's been a busy fall. So
it's been a busy 2018.
Yeah.
It has. Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to chillaxing in 2019. Well, thank you guys for joining us here at Backstage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. I had a really good time today on the show. Yep. I love the carols and the peoples. And
we love Backstage when it's not a huge group,
yeah,
because we really get a chance to talk to you. Yeah. So a lot of times we'll get like 100 people in here, and we'll just say, all right, where are you from? Okay, bye. Where are you from?
100 people came into the
room. 100 other people just came into the studio. Well, thank you guys, and merry ho, ho, ho.
Merry ho,
ho, ho.
Merry, happy holidays to all.
Go see Fun Home.
Do it.